Welcome, everyone. So glad you're all here today for our marriage seminar, which we've called Becoming One, Building Unity and Intimacy in Our Marriages. Our goal here today is to lay some groundwork in terms of teaching from Scripture about marriage. For instance, this first session is called Becoming One is God's Plan. And it's a great plan. But the other sessions, making time for each other is essential, becoming effective listeners, walking in the light, and resolving conflict. We really want to give you the opportunity to have time to talk to each other. We get busy with our lives through work, taking care of children. And so many times at the end of the day, we're tired. We just kind of say what happened. And we don't really get a chance to talk about how we're doing in our relationship with each other. The things that are on your heart but you haven't communicated to your husband or to your wife. And so we want to make sure we have lots of time today to have the opportunity for husbands and wives to talk and go deeper with each other. So I think it's important, obviously, to get God's truth, but I think it's even more important today that we make time for you after each session to really not be in a hurry, to discuss what you've heard. We've taken communication tools and different kinds of things that you can work through together from other marriage seminars, especially the Alpha Marriage Seminar, and they're really helpful. So I'm glad that you're all here today, and I would just like to pray right now that God would bless our time together. So Father God, I thank you for everyone who's come here because they have a desire to have a stronger marriage, to love each other more, to communicate better, to be one, as your word tells us to be. So please use what I share, especially use our discussion times, Father, to further a deepening of our relationship, clarity in communication, a deepening of our love for each other. Father, I invite you to use this time to that purpose. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth in us this afternoon, in Jesus' name. Amen. So look at your notes. Session one, becoming one is God's plan. Marriage is designed and ordained by God. He makes us one. And we're going to go right to Scripture. This is Genesis chapter 2. Then the Lord God said, "It's not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the sky, and brought them to the man to see what he would name them. Whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle, and to the birds of the sky, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." The New Living Translation says it this way: "This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one." And that's our goal today, the two of us as married partners becoming more and more one in our relationship with each other. And that, of course, happens as we grow in our oneness with Jesus Christ himself. When you get married, your life is inseparably joined to your spouse. The King James Version talks about cleaving to your wife. So there's an expression, you leave your parents and cleave. You leave and cleave to each other. The woman was taken out of the man and then reunited with him. Joined can be translated as hold fast, ESV, united to, the NIV, or cleave can also be translated cling to. And I just happened to do a little bit of a word study to see what that expression cling to is used in Scripture. And there's three scriptures I wanted to share with you here. And it's all in reference to our relationship with God Himself. Deuteronomy 13:4 says, "You shall follow the Lord your God and fear Him. You shall keep His commandments, listen to His voice, serve Him, and cling to Him." Joshua 23:8, "But you are to cling to the Lord your God as you have done so this day." Jeremiah 13:11. I really love this one. "For as the waistband clings to the waist of a man, so I made the whole household of Israel and the whole household of Judah to cling to me, declares the Lord, that they might be for me a people for renown, for praise, for glory, but they did not listen." So in that last scripture, God told Jeremiah to get a linen waistband. In other words, it's a piece of clothing that went around your waist. It's designed to cling to your waist. And that's how God designed us. We're designed to be in a relationship with Him where we're like children dependent on their parents, and that we cling to the Lord. We hang on to the Lord. We're pursuing Him. So cling can also mean hang on tightly. This is how we're to be with each other. And so I found that to be a good challenge for me. Is that what I'm doing right now with Ingrid? Am I clinging to her? Am I hanging on tightly to her? Is that the attitude that I have towards her? I want to have that. So is that the attitude you're having today towards your spouse? Since our lives are joined together by our Lord, we should put an effort into being united. And this lifelong calling, leaving your parents, cleaving to your wife, having a lifelong one man, one woman for one lifetime relationship can be daunting. How many of you have ever felt like, wow, you know, can I really do this? I know my first year of marriage, we lived in Amherst, Massachusetts, and we had this old stuffed armchair that I like to sit in, and it was after dinner. We'd only been married a month or so. Ingrid was doing the dishes, and I was sitting in the chair looking in the kitchen, and Ingrid seemed to be enjoying what she was doing. And I was reflecting on, wow, so this is it. It's Ingrid and me and the rest of our lives together. And I just had this feeling of like being a bit overwhelmed by that. Like, can I do this? And it wasn't like that I wasn't happily married. I was totally happy being married to Ingrid. We were very enthusiastic about each other. But I felt that, like I said, daunting commitment, lifelong commitment. We're becoming one. And so if you've ever felt that, I want you to be encouraged. God wants to help you build a united marriage. This is His idea. He wants to give both of you grace to live this way. The more we live in love and unity, the more blessed and genuinely happy we will be. And I really believe that. Self is what gets into the way in our relationships with each other and with other people in general. The fall ruined the marriage relationship as Adam and Eve turned to loving self rather than loving God and loving each other. So I want us to look at this. The consequences of the fall, sin and death, were introduced through Adam and Eve turning away from God. And Genesis 3:16 says this, "Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." And we see here, this was part of the curse that God spoke over Eve after the fall. And we see that this is true. We see men dominating women, seeking to use them for their own selfish desires. We see women wanting to control men. And there's these tensions and sin in our human relationships between male and female. My wife and I, mostly Ingrid, wrote a resource for engaged couples trying to lay out a biblical vision for the foundation of marriage called The Basics of a Godly Marriage. Ingrid wisely wrote this, "Since the fall, we see the desire for control, manipulation, and dominance corrupts these God-ordained roles. The answer to this corruption is not to do away with the roles, but to reinstate them in their original place through the redemption of Jesus Christ. Male and female roles is something that's a very hot topic, so to speak, among Christians and in the world today. So we believe that God in his wisdom ordained marriage, gave us roles that we're to fulfill, and that when we do that, we will enjoy our life together in a much greater way, and we will be honoring him and furthering his kingdom. We went to a great marriage seminar years ago by Paul and Virginia Friesen, and they came up with this quote: God's antidote to the fall is Ephesians 5. So I want to read in Ephesians 5. We're going to start with his exhortation to husbands. Paul says this: Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Our marriages are born out of who God is: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is one. There's one Lord, one God. Not in sameness, but in unity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are distinct, with differences, yet one in essence, equality and unity. That's the Godhead as we understand it, as God's revealed himself in Scripture. So in the same way, men and women are called to be one, but there's distinctions. We have the same equality and essence as human beings, but we're different physically, psychologically, hormonally. God made us different, so physically, so we can actually become one physically, emotionally and psychologically, so actually we can learn to love one another and embrace our differences in a loving way that really honors God. And the whole idea of submission and relationships in marriage, husbands and wives are both called to imitate Christ Jesus. So I'm focusing on the men here. Love your wives just as Christ loved the church means to give yourself, your life for her. I was meeting with a friend, Mark Yoon, and we were talking about marriage and how things were going, and somehow we got talking about Ephesians 5, and Mark brought up this verse. He goes, Dave, the Bible tells us that we have to love our wives just as Christ loved the church. I said, yeah, Mark. He goes, Dave, just as Christ loves the church, Dave, just as. And we started laughing, because it's, again, very daunting. How can I love my wife as much as Jesus Christ has loved the church? But that's our calling, and that's what God wants to grace me to learn how to do. So if I'm loving my wife just as Christ loved the church, that means I'm placing her and her needs ahead of my own. Excuse me, I think it's good to look at some of the different words used in this passage. To sanctify and cleanse her, that's what Christ does for the church. Well, I should do that for my wife. I should pray with her. I should share God's word with her to build that into her, but see that she is set apart. She's more and more devoted to the Lord. That she's cleansed. She's not walking under any condemnation in her life. Present her in all her glory to magnify my wife's strengths, to help her overcome her flaws. Love your wife as your own body. I love this. I feel like Paul is very insightful. If you get a bunch of guys together and they're going to do something fun, watch a Patriots game together, what will they do? They will go out and buy food, whatever they like, whether it's beer, burgers, you know, chips, dip. Men know how to make themselves comfortable and happy. They love their own bodies. They love to fulfill their appetites and fleshly desires. So Paul's saying, love your wife that way. What are your wife's desires or what are her needs? Make sure you're meeting them. Guys, we know how to cherish our own flesh. Let's learn how to love and cherish our wives. The word cherish is a great word. It means to appreciate and meditate upon the good of your wife. See her great value. It's a blessing to have a wife. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord, Solomon wrote in Proverbs. So I really believe that. I've obtained favor in my life because I married Ingrid. Because of Ingrid, I'm a much stronger Christian and I'm a much better pastor than I would be if I wasn't married to her. And before I was married, you just kind of naturally think other people think the way you do and respond to life issues in life the way you do. And Ingrid and I are very different. And so when we got married, we would have very different reactions to the circumstances of life. And it was very helpful to me. I thought, Ingrid's responding to this totally differently than I am. This is making her feel in a way that's totally different than how it's making me feel. So that was really great for me. So I really have a much better understanding of how other people think and feel, which enables me to be sensitive to them, to have compassion, to minister to them in a much better way. So I cherish my wife. I believe that God gave me Ingrid to help provide wisdom for me, that when we make decisions together, I really like to talk things through with Ingrid because I value her input. So lots of times I joke with guys, scripture talks about a wife being a helpmate to her husband. I'll tell some couple, they're engaged, I'll say to the guy, God looked at you and he saw you needed help. So that's why he brought this wonderful woman into your life. And we laugh at that, but I'm actually serious as well. Men, we need our wives. We need help. It's not wrong to acknowledge that. And sisters, it's not bad to be a helpmate. Jesus said, I'm among you as the one who serves. The Holy Spirit is called the helper. So God identifies himself as a helper to us. So having the role of a helper is actually a godly role. Let's work back now. Let's go to Ephesians 5, 21 to 24, which says this, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. So again, that's a tall order, and some women, especially in our society today where traditional marriage has kind of fallen out of favor and practice, women can look at this and say, how can I possibly be that way? Well, first is to have a proper understanding of submission and love. Submission isn't kind of a blind obedience. Submission means there's a place where you might talk things through and you have a conflict of wills and you're willing to prefer the other person that you submit to, whether it's parents or a husband. So it's not a bad thing. And men, we shouldn't want kind of this, what people react against, blind submission or mindlessness. That's not what we want. We want to get input and wisdom from our wives. And in general, I would say 99% of the time, Ingrid and I make our decisions together in a united way. We come to a point of unity, and then we can move forward because agreement and unity is the place of power in life. So that's what we're aiming for. The inspiration for living this way, wives, is Jesus Christ himself. Jesus was equal to God the Father, yet he chose to submit to him. The Father loves the Son as his beloved, and this love wonderfully flows down to his bride, the church. And it's the same way in marriage. Wives do not need to earn their husband's love, but that love is lavished on them freely and unconditionally. Husbands, again, that's why it's important to love your wives. If there's a man who wants to love his wife, prefer her, lay his life down for her, make her know in a real way that she's more important to him than satisfying his own needs, that's not a hard person to submit to. If the husband is self-centered and selfish and domineering, well, yeah, of course, who wants to submit to a person like that? So wives imitate Christ in submitting to and respecting their husbands. So in The Basics of a Godly Marriage, Ingrid wrote this very fine paragraph regarding Ephesians 5 being the antidote to the fall. Instead of, "He shall rule over you," there is loving, serving, and sacrificing for your wife, just as Christ also loved the church. Instead of controlling or manipulating or draining the life out of your husband as you desire him to meet all your needs, or you desire to master him, there is respecting and submitting out of reverence for Christ. Note, both men and women are called to imitate Christ, who fulfills both these roles beautifully. He obeyed the Father and submitted to him, submission and respect. He laid down his life for us. I am among you as the one who serves. Servant leadership, which the husbands are to emulate. I can remember right here, Joe and Rachel Guerin are present, and we were going over this teaching with them, and Rachel really astutely said, "Wow, you know, you see this as both the men and the women have to imitate Jesus in their own way." And it's great that she observed that, and that's why we're sharing it today. We're called to be Christ-like. In order to love each other, we must allow Christ to be formed in us. Ingrid's addressing something when she talked about sometimes you can drain the life out of your husband because you're wanting him to meet all your needs. God's goal is for us to come into a relationship with himself through Jesus our Lord, where he meets our needs for love, our needs for forgiveness and being freed from guilt and shame and condemnation, our need for someone who understands us, someone that we can pour our heart out to and share with everything that goes on in our life. That is something that God wants you to come to him and experience. So we have to have that. At the same time, Jesus says we're called to love each other. We love our neighbors as ourselves, and especially husbands, love your wives. So God also calls us to live in that way with one another. It's just important to realize that there's times where we're frustrated in life because we're trying to get other people to give us what actually only Jesus can give us. And so we need wisdom and discernment to know that. But as we love each other, the commitment to each other will cause each of us to change. The marriage relationship grows and flourishes. As I learn to die to my selfish desires and prefer Ingrid, that actually increases the harmony and the unity in our marriage. Death to self, I like to say, solves most of our problems. And I really believe that. I find so many times there's issues in my relationship with Ingrid. I'm maybe struggling, and most of the times my struggle is I feel like Ingrid's disappointing me, or she's not doing what I want, meeting my expectations, making me happy. And when I really step back and look at it, it's very much about me. They're very self-centered feelings that I'm expressing. And I think of Jesus. Jesus died on the cross for me. He died for my sins. He became sin that I might become the righteousness of God in him. So if he's willing to do that, I need to be willing to pick up my cross and die to myself daily, he said. As I do that, then I'm able to put aside some of my frustrations or death expectations and go to Ingrid and seek to prefer her, seek to communicate about what happened that's making me feel that way, and our marriage gets stronger. So we've got this foundation of Christ-like love. We're going to spend much time this afternoon working on communication, listening to each other, resolving conflicts, so that we build our unity in the Lord and with each other. I put here, as we grow in being one with him, we will also grow and being one with each other. Being in Christ provides the proper foundation for a successful marriage. There's some questions for discussion here. How are you doing in being united and clinging to each other? How could you be more united? Husbands, how could you grow in loving your wives? Wives, how could you improve in respecting your husbands? We want you to discuss these questions. Talk about it. These are things we have to talk about. Be honest with each other. We have to be honest in sharing where there's disappointments or frustrations. But then we want you to pray together. Praying together is very, very important. And one of the points that we're going to make in the next couple of sessions is the absolute necessity for making time for each other. Time to pray, time to communicate, time to grow in being one. So thank you. God bless you.